Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party
Captain Confowl.
Son of a... I don't want to talk about it. It makes me sad.
Oh.
But I'm going to be here and listen to you.
Scott almost died.
I was 1 foot in death's door. I had the pneumonia.
Yeah. I actually messaged him like, it's been a week since I heard from him. Like, are you still alive, dude? What happened?
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm dying.
So it was pneumonia and an ear infection and
eye
apparently you're rubbing poop all over your eyes because you had like pink eye.
It was just ugly. Nobody wanted to be near me.
Bugs everywhere.
So I missed like 2 Wednesdays and yeah, it was just like 2 weeks at work gone. I lost 2 weeks of my life.
Oh.
And missed Captain Con.
And lost 15 pounds apparently.
I did. I dropped 15. I weigh less now than like going into high school.
Where? Really?
Yeah. Like, it's just I don't think I've been this
I
late.
Need to get pneumonia so I can lose like 20 pounds.
You don't want it. It was horrible.
No, it sounds terrible.
On my painting table, I still have models because my kitchen's being done. So I haven't painted that new girl who works for the Pikeman. That solo?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't remember her name.
Sheila?
Sonia?
Sonia? Something. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways,
apparently she's pretty decent.
I bought the Mist Speaker because everybody was like, oh, she's amazing. It's amazing because it like deals with clouds. So I was like, oh, I'll buy one of those. And then, of course, everybody went to buy one and I got the last one.
Yeah. I meant to buy one when I was at Captain Con, but I was playing so many tournaments, I barely got out of the
convention really?
Hall. Yeah.
I enjoy that, walking around. And I also got the 2-man Merc unit. I can never pronounce
it. Linus and Indra?
Yes. I okay.
Them that's up a too. Minion unit, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. So they're sitting down there to be painted too. And yeah, that's it.
I actually really like those models, Linus and Indra. They're kind of fun to paint. She's doing her little magic belly
like
dance thing.
And I got like the 2 weapons or whatever. I don't know where to put them. So they're just on her base right now. So I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
Figure it out later.
I think she's got their rifle slung or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're really good at dealing with gremlin swarms.
Oh, that's good.
Because she's got true sight. She just zaps them with her little magic zapper.
That'd be all right for me. Yeah.
Do they work for Kador though? They're
no,
minion
trolls,
unit.
Man. Trolls.
Oh, trolls. Yeah, trolls. Yeah. You know what trolls don't have trouble with? Gremlin swarms.
Well, then you gotta kill them off objectives and stuff, right?
You just pop that spirit chaser and fucking run your stone, you're good to go.
Well, I got him anyways because I was like, I'm gonna buy this today.
There you go.
And I'm currently playing trolls.
All in.
I was all in at Captain Con, ready to go. I had Cole Grimma D3 and Grim 1 and Madric 1 ready to go.
Yes.
So I was gonna bring like the 4 lists, which had some overlap, so it wasn't like a ton of models. And then I could like swipe it out as I was going along. But no, I didn't.
Then you got infected.
Yeah. So there's a World Ender on Saturday. Dust them off. I'm going to take them out.
Does that mean I have to finish those models now?
That'd be probably a good idea.
Because I was like scrambling to paint them and stuff like that. And then Scott says, okay, I'm out. I'm like, okay, I think I'll paint another Skin of Bones.
Yeah, now you got 3 days for Saturday.
There you go, no problem. They're actually all almost done.
That's good.
I think. Yeah, so on my painting table is a unit of Northkin Raiders, which are almost done.
Yay.
A brawler, which is almost is done, just except the base, and then that UA dude.
Yeah, the Northkin Elder.
Yeah, and he needs his base finished.
And Valka.
Is that it?
So that's 10.
There's another 11, brawler, 12, 13, but 13, you're not getting him on Saturday.
Yeah, that's another brawler missing. Yeah, because I was like, I need these ones, and then you got 13 out of the 14 done.
Yeah, so that's what's on my painting table, and then I've got other stuff that I need to finish for Grimkin, but not a ton of stuff. It's just like I want to get that second unit Holloman done, and I now have. 4 Frightmares, because we won a Frightmare during Dave and I just like, I was like, I'm going to the bathroom here, take my tickets, see if we win anything. So we got 1, but it was like way at the end and there was like crap for choice. So he just grabbed this Frightmare. That's what the thing's called, Frightmare. So I have 2 Frightmares that I want to paint as well, so I can have like 4 of them and shoot people with globs of snot, whatever they shoot out of their face. So that's it, and I'm still all in on the Grimkins.
You're still loving it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you went to Captain Con. Let's do the rundown.
The rundown.
So who was in the travel arrangements?
Well, we had 2 cars. There was Dave was driving, and myself, Dusty, and Charles were all in that car.
Yeah,
which was good. A lot of fun. I mean, 4 guys means a lot of conversation.
Yeah, the time flies, man. When you that's what I love about it.
So it was good. And then the other car was Nick and Fabio. Because some guy Scott Tallarico bailed.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah. And Jeremy and Becky were driving themselves. So we're heading down and everybody's giving like updates about where they are. And so for the longest time, it was Jeremy and Becky in the lead because they left like an hour before us. And then our car and then Fabio and Nick were like 3 miles behind us for the longest time.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And so then they message us and we're like about an hour out from Warwick. And they're like, hey, let's stop. and get gas and snacks and we'll meet up and stuff like that. And we're like, okay, we're getting off at this one. And then they blow right by. We're like, you bastards. So it was just a fake out so they could get second place.
So Jeremy did win?
Oh, yeah. He always wins.
He doesn't.
No?
No, there's like the one year, like what, 2 years ago, I think it was, they left an hour before us and we passed them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have to make regular stops so that
Becky can do her lunges. And
plus they brought their dog.
Yes, that was cool.
There was actually a number of people that had dogs there. It was kind of cool.
And it was like fine, and they just like ran around like they on leash.
Well, they're on a leash or whatever, and they're all nice. There's a couple of like pug puppies and dog Haley, whatever. They're nice dogs.
And did they go into like the convention and walk around and stuff?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. They didn't really go around like the table space that much. You know, they'd come in and stand by the wall or whatever, but they didn't get like mixed up amongst the players or whatever. It's more like the hallways outside the hall where they'd sit down, chat and play some board games and stuff like that. Like they brought their dog down every night. We'd like get together and play some board games.
And the dog was there hanging out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was totally chill. It was actually really good. You know, I would think that I wouldn't want to bring my dog, but my dog's an a-hole. So
look at him. He's so cute. Just sleeping there.
He's not cute. He's a little bastard.
Hey, it's kind of like you.
Don't let him deceive you. Yep. So we left on Thursday at like 9 in the morning. And we got there about 4:30, and then we like unpacked and shit like that. Got our rooms, and Dave and I were in a room with Matt McWaters. Got to meet him. He's on my team, and that's the first time I sort of met him in person.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. He's on your team. What do you mean he's on your team? Team for what?
WTC.
Oh, World that's team right.
Championships of the War Machines stuff.
That's we right, haven't talked about that yet. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you. I hope I can live up to the honor.
That was a fun process.
I imagine it was.
And I think only one person's mad at me, so it's okay.
Only one?
Only one person ended up being mad at me. So
that's absolutely shocking. Yeah, so my team is Josh Bates, Crow Bates, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what his name
is. Is the captain, and he's great. He's very like verbose and very good at speaking and all that sort of stuff. And then we got Jeremy McClure, who's a total a-hole. And then Alex Dunn, myself, and Mac McWaters, and we've already got homework. So,
well, he learned from the mighty Banky.
Yes, he did.
So he was Banky was Josh's captain last year on Team 3.
Yes.
So he's going to take a lot of that, and he's going to apply it to you guys.
He's going to do it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to have 2 weeks to play 20 games with
20 games in 2 weeks.
This wasn't too bad because I played like 15 games at Captain.
Okay, but that's different because of that. I know. Like, most people aren't playing 10 games a week, and he's got to be, you know.
Well, him and McWaters sort of seem to do with the. We have like a chat where you report games and stuff like that, and they seem to play the time.
I'm married with a kid, man. I'm married with two kids.
It's like, true. I'm gonna do my best to hit that mark. But there was 20 games of non-Old Witch Grimkin casters, so I haven't counted to see how many Old Witch games I played on the weekend. But I think I might have 14 in or something.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good.
It's pretty close. Yeah. So yeah, we got there, and then we went for Jeremy's birthday dinner at that by the lake or whatever the hell it's called.
I was going to call ahead and buy you guys a cake.
Really?
And then I fell asleep and didn't.
No.
So didn't happen.
So we went with all those people that there I mentioned that were in the car.
I think there's 10 there's or 9
Jake,
of us.
Jake and Zoja came as well.
And I saw that they snuck in there.
They snuck in there, yes. And so we had a great dinner. And then we went back and we drank some beer skis for sure. It was great. Played some Carcassonne. It's like a medieval city building thing, and you get points for like completing cities and farms and stuff. And Charles, like, you know, he was probably the one that's most knowledgeable at the game, so he won a lot. But it was just an excuse to sit around and drink.
Yeah, of course.
And whatnot. So it was great. Oh, something we did do. We got back and nobody seemed to be organized or whatever. And Dave had a Butcher 3 list that he wanted to play in the tournament, but he wanted to like play it once before he actually got to the table. So like, yeah, that's fine. Let's do that. I want to try this this King of Nothing list that Dave Beauchamp is ejaculating all over the place about. Right. So we put that down on the table after we got back from dinner and played it. And then Jake comes by and he's like, what the hell are you guys doing? You're going to play like a billion games of War Machine this weekend. You got to play one thing. Right? And we're like, well, just, you know, whatever, until somebody gets organized for board games. And so we played that, and I mean, I only played the one game, but I really don't like the list at all. It seems terrible bad in terms of
scenario.
But
everybody's got different play styles, so like
no. It's amazing and it for could, somebody. It could be like, I mean, you're really sort of like leaning on the Gremlin swarms to keep you in scenario. because you don't have enough models to be everywhere. And Dave's Butcher 3 list has Ion and Holt on top of Butcher and Ruin. Hmm. So the Gremlin Swarms are not locking scenario down for you.
So maybe it's not a good end to that matchup.
No, for sure. I don't think it's a terrible list. I've played lists like that are five or six heavies, and they feel particularly weak in scenario. The only exception is the Dreamer, and that's because she makes her own contesting models with Hat Trick.
Right.
So she's really good in Menagerie, and just, you know, I got five heavies, but I can still play the scenario game all the way. I may try it again. I'll see. But Dave was kicking my butt, and he was actually like, McWaters was there coaching him, helping him kick my butt, which is good, because, you know, Dave could use a little bit of coaching or whatever. Or Dave didn't seem to mind at all. But then the last turn, Dave had killed, I think, all my heavies except for one Skin and Moans, who was on the other side of a building from Butcher, and Butcher had just feeded. So I activated the King of Nothing. I moved him up so that Butcher was in the Master of Ruin, the -2 armor debuff. And then I cast like an Ashes to Ashes and killed the models that were in the trample landing spot. Cast Host of Shadows to give my Skin and Moans Ghostly. Puppet Strings the Skin and Moans. The Skin and Moans already had Scything Touch on him. So he tramples through the building to land beside Butcher. I have three attacks and he's pow 23.
Ow.
So it was still pretty close on dice or whatever. I mean, I had to hit the sevens, I guess, to hit him. And I was just like, well, I'm just going to raw dog that. So I hit him three times and he was dead.
Nice. You could see Dave just deflate there. Like,
no, he was fine. He was fine with it. He had a good experience with the game in terms of learning about the list and whatnot. So he seemed to enjoy that. But I might try that list again. I don't know if it's as super awesome as Dave Beauchamp thinks, but I'll have to give it another try, you know. My first time out, I might have made some mistakes or something. Like you said,
yeah,
having Ion and Hold Ruin and Butcher is like a lot of ways to deal with the
Gremlin
Swarms.
Yeah.
So the other was that night we played some Carcassonne until like 1 a.m. and then we crashed. We got up on Friday for standard issue, went down and registered, got breakfast.
I saw a lot of the Sharks were playing Champions.
Yes and no.
So my plan was to jump into Champions. I was like, oh, I think I can maybe do that one.
No, it was a bit of a shark tank. You had like Tom Gwan playing some weird, stupid circle jank
that worked only for
he
him.
Could, only yeah, he could make work type of shit, yeah. And then there was Banky, Charles.
JVM.
No, Jake was in standard
issue. Oh, was he?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of said, are you playing champion? He's like, I can't remember who else was in there, but yeah, there was a lot of heavy hitters. It was actually probably a full flight as well.
It sounded like every heavy hitter was in their own flight. It seemed like they were all separate.
Except mine. Like, I don't know if there's any heavy hitters in mine. I had actually had the smaller flight. I think there was only 10 players in our flight, as opposed to the other three had 16.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't try balancing it out.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how they make their decisions or whatever. I think there was only, excuse me, only 10. Jamie Des Moines, I think his name is. He was in my flight playing Orion and Axis. And I just kind of keep an eye on him because I played him last year. Una 2 into Abby, and despite some disadvantages that he had, he really like played that game pretty mean, like pretty tight, and I was like shocked by how hard he could push in and win back. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't end up winning the game, but he was in till the end. He didn't give up, type of thing. So I was kind of keeping an eye on him. So should I talk about my games or something?
Yeah,
let's
go a quick run through. And
all right. So
if I start to fall asleep, then it's like move on to the next
one. Well, I'm going to make it pretty.
If you have like exciting stuff from all of them. Or
some of them had some interesting rule interactions, I guess you could say. So the first one, I can't remember the dude that I played. He was a nice guy. I remember that. It was Siege 1 in Storm Division. I played Old Witch in Bump into it. So my list is like Old Witch, Cage Rager, Frightmare, Gorehound Rattler, and then like unit of Hollowmen, two units of Naysayers, the Twilight Sisters, and then like a couple other things, Longfellow, Glimmer Imps, stuff like that. Murder Crows, definitely two units of Murder Crows. And his list was like a Storm Strider, two units of Cav Dudes, Storm Lances. Storm Lances, Junior, then like Fireflies, and what's Siege's dude called again?
Siege's
dude. His Rorjack dude. Triumph in there as well. So I felt fairly advantaged into that because Windstorm is really good at shutting down that ranged stuff. But actually really What kind of... this wasn't Siege 1. It was Striker 2. I worded it wrong. It's Striker 2 in Storm Division. And so I was very concerned about Striker coming in and going all Super Saiyan on Old Witch. So I kind of talked to him about the threat range, make sure that I was like getting the numbers right.
And 17 inches.
It's actually a little more than that. It's 20 with his feet. I mean, he doesn't go in with Super Saiyan on that move, but he can buy attacks and boost and all that sort of stuff, right? So if you're on your last little bit of life, he can put the nail in the coffin. So he kind of jammed up without feeding with the Storm Lances, because I was playing like a very cautious game. And I wanted to inflict as many casualties on the Storm Lances before he feeded. And he kind of jammed in, and my feet turn, I killed 9 Storm Lances. So I was like, okay, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, that's almost 40 points.
Yeah. And so then he went in on basically like an assassination attempt, and he got 1 Storm Lance charge because I missed him with the blind gun with a reroll on feet. Whatever happens. The last Storm Lance got a charge in there, and then he got 2 jacks in that could make feet attacks. I'm pretty sure that was about it. And then Striker charged up, did all his like velocity and shit, and blew up my Cage Rager like a boss. And then we measured it out, and he was like 1/2 inch out on getting to Old Witch for the feet move. And the Storm Strider moved up, and he was trying to get shots on Old Witch. And once again, it was like 1/4 inch out of doing that. So at the end of it all, he left me on like 10 boxes or something like that. So, and that was like through 2 transfers as well.
Yeah,
so if either the Battle Engine or Striker had been in, it was really good odds on him finishing it. So, and then I just like a paralyzing gaze, blinded, knocked down Striker. And then Lord Longfellow walked up and was like, you're dead.
Double tap to the head.
So yeah, but that was a pretty good game. I'm always like really leery about Striker. He scares me. He comes from way the F downtown. So round 2, I played, I think the guy's name was Joe. He's a really nice guy. I was playing a pair down or whatever. He had lost his first round. And he's playing Rask in the Will Work for Food theme, the one that gives him like overtake and I don't know, something else.
I don't know anything about minions.
You don't know anything about minions? You should learn, because they're fucking legit now.
Maybe.
So I played a number of lists that I was like, Jesus, this shit's
for real. I'm going to lose a lot of games against Minion and Scorn and Cock.
Apparently you need to watch out for Yaga Yaga.
Oh yeah?
She has signs importance now. And she will just apparently fucking assassinate you from out of nowhere. So be careful with that. Anyway, so this is Rask, right? And he had Dalian Scareth and Rorsch and Brine, a Spitter, a Rassler, and I don't know, some other shit. Let's take a closer look at the picture. But those are kind of like the key elements, the main elements. And so he goes first, and we're playing a standoff, and he moves up into like pretty aggressive positioning and threat range. So I kind of put up my Rattler to be like, here, you can have this, because he's pretty fucking useless in this matchup. And so he goes to take the Rattler, and he primals the... Oh, yeah, he had the octopus thing. What's it called? The beast.
Swamp Horror?
Swamp Horror, yeah. He had a Swamp Horror. But it was like the pretty one. The girl, the...
Oh, the new one.
Yeah. What's that shit called? The crate, mini crate one. So he primaled that one and like went up and smoked my Rattler pretty handily. But I was okay with that. This is Dreamer. I'm playing Dreamer into this one, by the way. It's much better than playing Old Witch into it, I think. And then he also popped his feet. And I thought, well, I'm going to run up one of the Cage Ragers, and I'm going to Abyssal Gate Rorsch forward, who's got like 1 transfer or something. And the other Cage Rager is going to trample up and punch him in the head until he's dead. And then when I go to do that, he's like, oh, you can't do that because the attacking model isn't within 5 inches. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm marking it, and the arc node's within 5 inches. And so we had a little bit of a disagreement there. And he's like, yeah, Michael Ireland says it works like this. And I'm like...
Yeah, well,
I'm still going to call a judge because I've already run my Cage Rager up here. And so we called the judge and we talked about it for a bit, and the judge ended up agreeing with me. And then after, like the following day or something like that, Dusty comes up to me. He's like, yeah, I saw you doing that stuff and blah, 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 blah. And I know the judge ruled with you, but that's not the way it works. Apparently it works the way that my opponent described, is because it's like specifically worded differently than Rask's feet. The attacking model needs to be within 5 inches. So even like arc nodes and stuff like that,
right.
That
doesn't change it. It's not stealth. It's getting around. It's not stealth. Like where yours would get around stealth, which is kind of how he ruled it probably.
Yes.
His feet's different than that, right?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't, the judge read the the relevant cards and made his call, right? So that's the first time I've encountered that. And I don't know if his feat has been reworded or something like that since Mark II.
I don't know anything about me.
Or maybe I've never been in the circumstances where I've had the capability of getting an arc node or something like that within 5 inches. So, but anyways, so we did play it out that way. And I did end up abyssal gating him forward, and the Cage Rager trampled in, and I turned him around, blah, blah, blah. And I missed one of the Signs of Importance fives that I needed to hit. So I nailed him with the last one, and he toughs. So in a way, I'm telling myself, well, it didn't work out that bad for him because I got my two Cage Ragers up in his face, and he has his opportunity to,
kill them,
beat the shit out of them or whatever, right? So that's about all I do on that turn. And then he goes up, and he gets super aggressive. The Wrassler, I think, killed a Skin and Bones that turn. Came from downtown with Boundless Charge or whatever, killed a Skin and Bones. And then Brine totally shits the bed on the dice and doesn't even make a serious impact on a Cage Rager. So that was kind of good. And his Swamp Horror frenzied. The snake couldn't really get in there, and he just sprayed or something like that. And in my following turn with Manifest Destiny, because that spell is oh my God, so good. I killed the Wrassler, Scareth, and Brine, and he pretty much doesn't have enough to kind of come back from there. It's an interesting list, it wants to alpha hard, wants to kill two or three heavies, and then you don't have enough to deal with all his heavies that are remaining. So I think it's pretty serious. So I think I ended up winning that one on Assassination because his following turn, Rask went in on a Cage Rager who had six boxes left, killed it, and then I popped my trump and he fell down. And then he died. So that was it was fun. I learned some stuff anyways. And I apologize to my opponent if I didn't realize that that's the way it worked.
But well, you didn't. And the judge ruled it, so.
Yes, that unfortunately does happen. Maybe he should have been I'm going to get Mike Ireland over here
to argue it for me. I've had the arguments, too, and been ruled against and then been, I was right, but it's whatever.
You got to you do have to agree with the judge. Yeah. And if he had said that it worked that way, that's fine. I would have just stuck with it. Third round, I got to play Cowboy. Remember?
Yep.
From Hobby Kingdom days and stuff like that. He plays a Black Knight now. And he was playing Rhett, and he had Raven and Thyron. So I was like, okay, I'm going to play Dreamer. Because if he drops the Battle Engines, I want to Abyssal Gate them and beat the fucking shit out of them. So we set up and play. We're playing Outlast, the two titty zones or whatever. He's got an AFG on either side. He's playing Raven in the Halberdier theme. I don't know what that's called. But he's got two AFGs. He's got five of those new lights. Harpy and the Sphinx, I don't know, Siren or whatever the hell it's called. And I know that he's banking on Vortex of Destruction to kill heavies with his lights.
Right.
So I figure that if I just position properly, if Raven's going to kill my heavies, she's going to get herself killed. Right. And then he had a min unit of rifle dudes, I guess just mainly another, I don't know, he didn't have halberdiers. I'm sorry. I got the wrong theme. He had min rifles, two AFGs, five of the lights, the Dragoon solo, and then some Arcanist or something like that. And so he put an AFG on either side, and then two lights and three lights. And I moved up really aggressively on the right-hand zone because there was a big chunk of rubble that I could use for cover for my Skin and Bones and that type of thing. And then I dropped the Artifice for the Cage Raiders to have some cover as well, just to make it as difficult as possible. I know his feat makes defense practically pointless, but he's going to try. So he feeded top two, which he probably shouldn't have, but he did. And he killed the two Krabbits, my Rattler and the Frightmare, which I didn't give a shit about anyways because they weren't good. I mean, I'd like to have them.
Yeah,
but if he's going to feed and kill something, I don't know. He kills that, right? Over. So he killed all that. And then my turn, I run a Cage Rager up and I abyssal. Oh, I'm at the beginning of my turn, I have to say this. Nothing against Cowboy, but it was kind of funny because I'm measuring my threat range from the Skin and Bones to the AFG. And he's like, you can't charge it. I'm like, not from the front. So I ran the Cage Rager up and I abyssal gated the cricket around. And then the Skin and Bone charges in, kills the cricket, and F's up a light that's standing right there too. I mean, I'm not even exactly sure, but his lights were positioned in a position. I could have charged a light and maybe engaged the AFG, but I might have been out a little bit. But I abyssal gated it up. And being armor 18 against magic makes it even super easier to do abyssal gate. So I did that and I had the right zone fairly locked down, but he was working pretty hard to lock down the left-hand zone, and I was just kind of jockeying there, and I'd score, I think at that turn I scored both flags, maybe, and I got a Cage Rager up in his face or something like that. So his turn, he goes in to kill the Cage Raider that's on his flag, and he comes up short, like significantly short. And Raven's like standing right in front of the Cage Raider. So I'm kind of like, Manifest Destiny is really good. I could just kill her, right? Let's try this. So I did position the Dreamer, and she was a corporal. And then I did the Cage Rager, and he came up short, like way short of killing Raven. Like maybe he did half boxes or something like that. I was like, that's okay, whatever. And I think I was camping two on the Dreamer, so I positioned like a Gremlin Swarm defensively around the Dreamer so that if he got Raven in or something happened, at least he'd have to deal with the Gremlin Swarm and annoyance possibly. And so his turn, he uses the AFG to knock down the Cage Rager in front of Kalissa. And then he puts down Veil of Mists, which costs him like two or something like that, right? And then he charges through onto the Dreamer because now he's got like line of sight and stuff like that. And he gets in, then I'm like, you're in annoyance reigns. She's 16, you need nines. So he decides to kill the Gremlin Swarm after his charge attack missed. Like he boosted a hit and missed. And then he kills the Gremlin Swarm, and then he goes in on the Dreamer, and he just doesn't have enough.
But then he's blown too much.
Yeah. And then my turn, I think I like just like took the free strike, and then a Skin and Bones went in and killed Raven. I didn't want to be standing there after I cast Manifest Destiny just in case he was like a bad, like the Cage Rager and totally messed up. So I won that one on Assassination. Yay. And so now I'm in the finals, and like I had sort of guessed, Jamie is in the finals with me. He's playing Orion in the Jack theme, or the bot theme, whatever you want to call it. And he's playing Axis in the Clockwork theme with all the robots and stuff like that. So like I'll play Dreamer. Feels safer than playing Old Witch. I don't know. I don't know if my Old Witch can play into Axis. And Orion's feat is really good at erasing infantry and heavies. His choice type of thing. And so I felt pretty good about it, but then I proceeded to like F up the entire
deployment or whatever.
The deployment, the matchup, everything about it. Yeah. So we're playing Recon 2, and there was like two large obstructions in the middle of the thing. And I thought, well, I'll take that side and maybe it'll like funnel them a little bit. And I was wrong. I didn't like measure it or whatever. It was ended up funneling me and causing me a big headaches for like contesting my flag and stuff like that. So he grew up, you've never played against Orion, right?
No.
He's got reposition 3 as a field marshal, and his list was kind of weird. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, it's not suboptimal, blah, 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 blah. But it seems to work quite well. He's got the modulators, the electro jacks. And I mean, with the servitor from the prime conflux, they go up to POW 12, which doesn't seem like much, but they can really eviscerate a lot of infantry. So it seems like a fairly flexible list. On his feet turn, he can blow up heavies. And also if you can draw like the line thing with the electro stuff, you're also nuking infantry and stuff like that, getting a lot of double usage. I had trouble getting into the zones, and I was terribly afraid of like putting fury on my war beasts and getting them blown up by the feet. I can't remember if I put Mirage on the Skin and Bones or not. I think I did. But once again, the terrain was like horrible. He went in on my right zone and like cleared that out pretty handily. He's Orion also has Spell Piercer, so he's really good at killing Gremlin Swarms.
Yep.
Even though Jamie made the mistake twice about trying to shoot a Gremlin Swarm, and I was like, spell Eyeless Sight or something. So he was kicking himself in the ass and howling and stuff like that. He's like, twice. So he pretty handily won that one, because I think it's actually a decent matchup for Dreamer. I just kind of bungled it up pretty horribly. And after that was the final game, right? So Jamie qualified for Masters, and I went and cried into my dinner and stuff. Went and got dinner
like this.
and then played Carcassonne with everybody and drank a lot of beer and stuff like that.
So what was going on in the night games? Because I remember Capcom was always famous for having its midnight qualifiers. What do they do instead?
They don't have that shit anymore, apparently.
So what do they do instead?
I don't know. I think we asked, and there was like, they're playing like some of the other weird formats and stuff like that. Like
Thunderdome.
Yeah, that type of stuff. He said, I think there's some of those that went on. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, not interested. Yeah. We'll play board games. That sounds better. They did have they always have like a board game library there. We like go and you just give them a piece of ID and you can borrow one of the hundreds of board games that they have. So we did that the one night and got like Small World and played that. So I would rather just play board games and sit around and drink and stuff. It's more
go to bed at a reasonable hour instead of playing till 7 in the morning.
If 1:30 is like reasonable. Yeah, no, I know. When they had the tournaments where you could qualify. Yeah, I would do that. The one year I like stayed up till 5:36 in the morning, played Charles, and then went and crashed and got up for the team tournament the following day.
I remember.
So I think that's probably a good idea because it keeps the stupidity down, I suppose. Unless you want to stay up all night.
Too old.
Yeah. So I think that kind of like it drew attention to me in terms of like my positioning and stuff like that. I thought it was my positioning and my plans and my execution were decent in the first three games, but just completely fell apart in the last one.
The exhaustion kicked in.
Yeah, either that or I just completely misread the table, I think.
Could be.
And it's something to do to like measure, and like you can ask people what the speed of their units are and stuff, and you can see, well, where are my models going to be when I run them on the bottom of one or something like that. That'll tell you how the terrain is going to impact your positioning. So should probably do that more.
7 inches up and run 12. I'm going to be here. Okay, that terrain sucks.
Yes,
I'll take exactly. The other side.
Exactly. So the next day was the team tournament.
You got to play with Asian Scott.
Yes,
because I dropped out.
Because you dropped out, so we were immediately like, Charles, looking for a team.
Now known as Asian Scott.
Asian Jesus.
No, he's Asian Jesus, but he's Asian Scott. He's Asian like, Scott. I'm going to be Scott T all weekend.
Can he send
like,
you a picture of him with your badge? It's awesome. So yeah, we had Jeremy McClure and myself and Charles on a team. And there's actually a bit of a controversy to start the team event. Apparently they had advertised that there was going to be like, I can't remember the number. It was like 36 teams or something like that, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, we only have space for 28 teams or something, right? So there was so they had to take a bunch of people that had actually been on the list and put them on the wait list. And we weren't on the initial list, right?
We were bumped because we were like the last team to get in or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And like Fabio showed him the message from Paul and stuff like that. And we were like angry or whatever. Just like, hey, situation, dude. And he was like very understanding. And I guess that's something that, I don't know, people that go to conventions and stuff like that, most of the people you're dealing with, like organizers and stuff, they're volunteers.
Yeah. They're
not getting paid. So there's absolutely no point in getting like all nerd rage and stuff like that. They're doing their best to accommodate you and make sure that you're going to have a good time and whatnot. And this guy was no exception. I honestly can't remember his name, but he's like been organizing the War Machine stuff ever since we've been going for like 6 years.
Was it Hacksaw?
It wasn't Hacksaw. I don't know if his nickname is Snake Man or something like that.
Hacksaw is the only one I know.
Yeah, Hacksaw was there, but he really wasn't that involved. I don't know what he said. He's retired or something.
He's just overseeing, I guess.
Yeah. I think he's there just to drink a little bit and hang out with some people, which is fine. So it shook out that everybody got in. I don't know how they managed to
found
do it
some
or whatever.
Tables, but I guess
there was maybe not as many people that showed up and found some extra tables and whatnot. But everybody got in, which is great because there was like some people like Matt who hadn't been on a team and just like grabbed a couple guys that were looking for a team and made a team. So we started and we played against some Jersey guys, Riker, who's a friend of Jeff Fredrickson.
Sure.
From
Battle-Driven Guys.
Battle-Driven Guys, yeah. And Aaron, I can't remember the other guy. And so they team minifeeded to switch some matchups. I guess they didn't feel comfortable with something. And something that I've found, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, you can, and we've team minifeeded first round. Number of times, right?
Yeah.
To win that matchup. And then we get fucked in the end because we're playing against people that are very skilled and they have a team mini feed, right? That they can even skew the numbers even more. So they team mini feeded on us. And Charles was playing against their Signar player, I guess. And then Jeremy was playing Riker and I was playing Aaron. And so I played Old Witch into Una 2. And I felt okay about it. He went first, which I wasn't crazy about, but that's what happens when you play Call of Wild. So he went up, and I think I mispositioned a little bit. Like going second, this is something that I'm even like learning more acutely now, is that counter-deploying is one of your strength, like one of your benefits for going second.
Oh, for sure.
So fucking use that.
Yeah, well, you want to get your matchups where you want it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This unit's got to kill that unit.
And I think I misdeployed a little bit. But the top bottom of two, when I went up, he kind of like did his positioning and stuff like that. And there's definitely like a triangle of death in the middle of the table that if anything went there, we're going to die. So I measured it out and I could walk the Old Witch up, use the Frightmare's Animus and blind two birds and then boundlessly charge two Dreadrots, charge them with the Dreadrots, and I can get a shot with the Frightmare. And then also boundlessly charge a Cage Rager and get that in on the third bird. So I was like, if I can kill all three birds, Old Witch is in the death triangle. But if those three birds are dead, she's probably not going to die. So I started doing stuff, and I positioned the Frightmare in her advance lane. And
now you're like, shit.
Yeah, now I have to take that shot without Divinator, without the rerolls. So I'm terribly happy about that. Anyways, I missed the shot because I didn't have... No, I didn't. I tried... I think I'm in. So I advanced her up into the hole, and then we measured out, and she was like a cunt tear out on the bird. So that the black oil didn't happen, the blind didn't happen, which is a big deal. And then I activated the Frightmare, and he missed his rerollable 10. So I didn't hit with that. And but I did boundlessly charge the guys and stuff like that and feed it, and I killed one bird with Cage Rager. And I was like, well, I'm not going to charge the birds now because the fucking Dreadrots aren't going to hit shit. So I charged the Pure Blood instead. And then on his turn, he took like a good 15 minutes to kill Old Witch with like three primal hand of faded birds or whatever. And he Hunter's marked her and stuff like that. So I was kind of like, meh.
Well, let my team down.
Yeah. And then Jeremy got assassinated top of two.
He was fast. I remember he messaged her. He's like, I'm out. We're like, what?
And part of the problem is like, I think playing at Captain Con, the terrain setup is like radically different than anything we're used to.
Right.
They don't kind of use a lot of
the PP stuff,
the guidelines. And you know, Agatha's like, it's only a guideline about having the terrain piece in the middle of the table. But when half of the tables have nothing in the middle of the table except for a hill, it dramatically changes the nature of the game.
Well, that's what we found. Once that guideline came out, it made unplayable matches playable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know? When you get into like, say my matchup with Una 2, and I'm sure it was like the same with some other games that I played, but it becomes about threat range at that point.
Yeah.
Because if you have nothing blocking line of sight, then it comes about who can strike first.
Yeah.
Right.
And if they out-threat you, you're like, man, this is not going to go.
Yeah, exactly. And the table Jeremy was playing on, I mean, Fianna was like behind a wall with like two shield guards and a transfer and stuff like that. And she still got fucking assassinated. Why? Because the entire Signar army could see her.
Yeah.
There was absolutely nothing in the way. And I guess he could have played it more safe and like put his two Nerifs in front of her or something like that. But
like at that point.
Yeah. And Dave got assassinated. I can't remember which tournament it was in. I think it was the team tournament or something, but he's playing Karchev. Karchev was on like four camp or something like that. And he got assassinated by a Haley 3 Trencher theme. Why? Because the entire fucking army could see him.
Yeah.
And you know, part of that's like, well, you should like buckle up Jax in front of him or something like that. But you know what? Haley has a knockdown spell.
Yeah. It don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So if the tables don't provide bulwarks or challenges to players, then it's the one that can strike the farthest, the hardest, fastest type of thing that's going to probably win the matchup.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say I was disappointed about the train, but it was something that I hadn't thought about and realized until this particular round in the tournament. And same thing with Jeremy, because it happened, it kind of happened to both of us, where we were on tables where there was a disadvantage to us because we didn't have the threat range that our opponents did. And there was nothing stopping them from doing it, right? Except putting models in the way, I suppose. And I did try to do a bit of that. I think I could have been a little better with it. I had my battle engine that I ran up last, and I should have based it with Old Witch to, you know, reduce the amount of landing spots that were on her. Because I think I...
Or pre-measure everything, and then you would have known you were out to begin with. And then
with Old Witch? No, yeah. I really felt that I needed to try to make an alpha out of it and kill...
No, but if you would have pre-measured, you would have realized the shot was out and it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, no, it was in... It's because I didn't activate the Frightmare first.
Hmm.
But yes, I should have like got a proxy base and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because it was like a huge base and I was like, fuck, I don't want to get into this bullshit. Like moving a huge base. But Charles did something on when we were playing our game where he just like put dice around a piece of terrain and then picked up the piece of terrain just to, like, get out of the way so we get more accurate measurements. I should have done something like that. Just mark the back of the base and then push it forward and measure as a proxy and then put it back. Taking more time, basically. So, whatever, we lost that round. Charles won his game because he's a fucking genius.
He's Asian Jesus.
And like I said, he told us going into this, he's like, I'm playing Ashlyn. I don't care what the matchup is. I'm playing Ashlyn. So he's just playing Ashlyn into anything. It didn't matter. But he's kicking ass like he does. Okay, so second round, we played against somebody. I can't remember. I think my opponent's name was Peter. Nobody team-feeded here. And he was playing Scorn. And he had Jalom and I don't even know what else. He had Jalom. That's what he played.
I don't even know what Jalom is.
Jalom is the new Scorncaster.
Yeah, okay.
He's the new ice cream flavor, yeah. He's not bad. He's got a pretty good kit. He has Hunter. He ignores cover. He has Prey. He's got a spell that gives Prowl and Pathfinder. I can't remember all the spells, but I was a little concerned about getting assassinated So I played the Dreamer. Did I play Dreamer? Yeah, I played Dreamer. So I mislabeled this as well. I'm an idiot. Anyways, so I played the Dreamer, and he decided to... I went first, because I hate going second. unless the table is, like, particularly shit. And in this case, I was tempted to maybe go second, because there's an 8x6 building on, like, right in front of one of the deployment zones. But he decided he wanted that side, which I thought was a big mistake.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll just tuck this side and go first. So I was very concerned about that, but he only had like the shaman cyclops that can see through stuff. And there's a nice forest on my left side, just out of my deployment zone. I was like, that's where the Dreamer is going to live until it's safe to come out. Right. So I moved up and he kind of like shot at me and stuff. He had his two heavies in the battle engine on the left. And I decided I need to kill that battle engine before it started doing mean things to me. So ran up a Cage Rager, abyssal gated it. Or maybe I didn't even need to. I think he positioned it in threat range of a Skin and Moans. Whatever. I sent in a Skin and Moans and failed to kill it by one box.
No.
So, and I was like, oh shit, this is bad. I was actually expecting him to pull the Derp Turtle back and start healing it with his Whipper Dudes.
Pain Givers,
yeah. And he had a Gladiator and a Bronze Back, which is like, I think it's the first time I've played against a Bronze Back in Mark III. And I had jammed in like, I'm trying to remember what fucking Arcana I took. I think I took Desolation and Ruin? I don't know. Anyways, so he killed some of my stuff. He killed like my lights and the one Skin and Moans that I put in. And then he charged the Derp Turtle in and came up short on a Cage Rager. And so my turn, I finish off the Derp Turtle. Kill some stuff, clear my zone, score a point. And then his turn, he had like a lot of Fury out there from his big Alpha Strike. And he kept a few on Jalam. I guess he was concerned about something. Because Jalam was like, we're playing the Pit 2, and Jalam was like in the infantry zone behind a wall. So he was in danger. So he had camped 3 just to make sure to turn that off, right? And he had a ton of Fury on all of his War Beasts. And I think that turn, yeah, it was that previous turn. I'd run my battle engine up because the Dreamer had kind of like had to come out to cover shit with Manifest Destiny. So, and she was in Corporal, but he's got a way to get magic weapons with the soulless people or whatever. Right. So I ran the battle engine up. But there was like, it was the proxy base problem, you know, where we had proxied the Bronze Back and then the model was back here.
Yeah.
And I ran up the battle engine, just like countercharge. I'm like, oh yeah. No. So the battle engine took like 10 damage from a countercharging Bronze Back. And now the Bronze Back was a lot closer. So I was seriously concerned that the Bronze Back was going to like pass its frenzy check and he'd just whip off all the Fury and like find a way to get to the Dreamer or whatever. That's a bad look. But the Bronze Back did end up frenzying. And then he moved up the Juggernaut. What's the one that's got Pathfinder? Rush. With the elephant with Rush. Gladiator.
Gladiator.
So he moved the Gladiator up, finished the battle engine. And that was pretty much his turn. I think he might have shot off a Gremlin Swarm or something. And then my turn, my Skin and Moans. I think it was two Skin and Moans. Two Skin and Moans? Did they kill? I can't remember if it was one or two. But one Skin and Moans goes over and like fucking dirt naps the Bronze Back with like 3 attacks. Just like, fucking Manifest Destiny. Here's an 11. Here's a 12. Here's a 10. Just brutalized him. And then put some damage on the Gladiator and then something else finished the Gladiator. And then my remaining Cage Rager was like up in his face, out of my control range. I just charged him right out of my control range and just like smashed up his little ranged light group. And I was like, here, play with that. So his turn, he still had like a bunch of Fury out there and was still camping fairly aggressively because Jalam was pretty far up the board. And like his Reaver Cyclops, the Gun Cyclops, frenzied into his other Cyclops. It was just like a bit of a jug fuck. Oh, I think I forgot the one turn. The turn he was like really concerned about Jalam getting assassinated. He had repositioned his shooting infantry, the Reaver dudes, so that he could get one dude into my zone to contest. And there's like a long line of dudes. And in my turn, the Rattler went in and just fucking ate them all. She's like, blah, 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 all dead. There's like the flag bearer and the leader at the back, like going, holy shit.
Not like this.
Not like that. But I was happy about that because it's just like less guns on the table. And I wasn't even actually that concerned about the guns in terms of my heavies. I was just concerned he's going to like kill the Dreamer. And so he doesn't get to do very much that turn because he doesn't have much to go with. And then I'm pretty sure Jalam dies the following turn. It's like a skin and bones or something. So we did talk about it. He was a great guy. It was a fun game. And he like after the game, he's like, I really should have taken that side of the table.
You're right.
Probably should have. I mean, it wasn't a huge problem because it wasn't like a high scoring scenario game because we ended up really getting into the grind pretty early. But the house kind of prevented him from getting up into my zone. And I sort of said, you should have just taken one of your solos, like one of the, who's the puppet master dude? I can't remember what his name is. The Mortar Thurge Wheelbreaker. Like throwing him out far on my right and just cornered him in on the zone. And then I've got a problem because I only have one offensive spell and it cost me three to kill a solo who's stopping me from scoring. And that really causes me problems. And he was kind of like, yeah, I didn't want to do that because they're all integral parts of my package, right? For running the guns. So, and I get that. That's understandable, but that was a good one. So we won that round. We swept that round actually. 3-0. Yay. Then, here's my Old Witch versus Siege 1 game. And this one was also...
Four games later.
Yeah, yeah. This one was also in Storm Division. And he had two of the battle engines, which concerned me slightly. And he had... what's his freaking Jack's name again?
Triumph.
Yeah, that guy. Then he had like three Chargers and two Fireflies or something like that. So I wasn't too worried about the Charger fighting and stuff like that. And I went second on this one, and I didn't mind that because there was we were playing standoff again. And on the right-hand infantry zone, there was a trench that was towing the zone. And if I put a Skin and Moans there, I can threaten the entire zone with a boundlessly charged Skin and Moans, which I quite liked. And so this worked out pretty good, but I made a couple of mistakes. The first one was when I kind of went in on the right to try to like clear the zone and get deep. I did some damage to his charger that was towing the zone. And then I was like, I can boundlessly charge the death knell. YOLO, let's do this. So the death knell goes in and I needed like a below average roll or something. And he totally whiffed the damage roll. I didn't kill it. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not doing that. I really should have just boundlessly charged the Skin and Moans who had respawn on him, put him up in there and then kept the battle engine safe. Because my opponent's following turn... he kind of focused out the battle engine first, and now I don't have my armor buff.
Yeah.
And it became a lot closer of a game. So I did end up killing the right-hand battle engine just by like running up a dreadrot and then walking a Skin and Moans over and punching the shit out of it. Can't push me away if there's something behind me. But he had got, I was just trying to delay the game on the left and win on the right. And he ran up a Firefly and towed my zone. And I was like, I have nothing over here because there's like a big obstruction in the middle of the table that I can get this motherfucker, except for Old Witch. So here we go. Boundlessly charge Old Witch, scourge him, knock him down, and then proceed to beat the shit out of him. And my last damage roll, I need anything but double ones to kill it. I rolled double ones. So I was like, okay. I think I was on zero camp, but at that point I had charged Triumph with Cage Rager, I think. Cage Rager and fucked him up pretty hard. He was standing right beside the healing objective, so he did heal him up and ended up killing whatever was engaging him with. And I didn't know that, but he could make gunshots in melee. He's got dual attack.
Yeah.
So his maintenance phase, he shot with that gun. And that was the same thing. I think I came up like three boxes short on Triumph. So I was sad about that too. But in the end, it came down to Triumph ended up dying, and I had a Skin and Moans and like a few dread rots, and it was kind of funny. He had a unit of mechanics, min mechanics, on the right to try to contest the zone with, and so like they YOLO like charge in and they kill a dread rot. Like, okay, that happened, and then in my turn, I'm like, all those little gobbers are def 14. I'd rather be attacking them in the back, and he's like, they're only mat 3, and pow 8 or something or 6 or whatever. I'm like, okay, I'll take this free strike. Hits, kills him. I don't tough. Okay, let's try to get skin over here. Hits, kills him. Toughs. Doesn't tough. And I'm like, okay, all right, let's just try to roll eights here. So his grobbers were like murdering shit. But it came down to basically he had a slightly damaged Storm Strider and it was like in the middle of his zone, and I had a skin and bones, and I basically had to kill it in 3 hits. Maybe it was full, I don't know. But if I boundlessly charged him, I can base him, get pushed back an inch, hit him again, push back an inch, hit him again.
You get 3 hits.
I get 3 hits, yes. And I kind of mathed it out, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is a 50-50, but I don't feel like I have a choice in the matter. So I charged him in, and I got the 50-50, and the Storm Strider died, and at that point, he really didn't have much to
come back with.
Yeah, I have a skin and bones in his zone, and we're pretty even on scenario at that point. So, yeah, that was a good game, for sure. I think his name was Ben. He was a really nice guy, too.
Did you play against any dicks? Because everybody you play against is a really nice guy.
If I did, I wouldn't admit it. For the most part, they're all really, really great people, except for that Charles Soon guy, which I'll play in Masters. And they're just like, they're like me. They're accommodating. You know, if something's possible, then go ahead and do it. You know, there was nothing like that. So that was the third, and we swept that round as well, I think.
Well, you need to sweep. You lost the first round, so you need to start sweeping. So
here's...
You got a backdoor your way into Masters.
Here's an interesting one that I thought was kind of interesting. Dreamer versus Dreamer. So I can't remember what he had. He had Dreamer and...
It's a nightmare.
And Heretic. It's a nightmare, yes.
Two dreams equal
a nightmare. The good thing for me about this is my opponent, I can't remember his name, but he was a very nice fellow as well. He had a fantastic mustache. He had like...
Did it curl and everything?
Sculpted it up into little handlebars and stuff. It was very nice. But the problem was he's very new to Grimkin. So new that he asked me on the top of two, did you upkeep Manifest Destiny?
You're like, oh, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Did you not realize it's not an upkeep? And then I like used Wraithbane. This is another like funny thing, but on the top of bottom of two, because he went first, there's two Gremlin Swarms and a Crabbit in a trench, and it's like 18, 19 inches away from my Frightmare. So I'm like, okay, what? Who gives a shit? I'm just going to Wraithbane my Frightmare, walk him up five, and just try to lob it into the trench with a deviation. 1-4. Pow, right into the trench. Hits them all.
Does it hit them in the trench, though?
I thought trench... The AoE is in the trench. The center of the AoE was in the trench, so they're not immune to it. Yeah. And he's like, oh, but the Gremlin Swarms are incorporeal. But I Wraithbane the Frightmare. And he's like, it does that?
Like, oh, boy.
So I kill both Gremlin Swarms and, like, F up the Crabbit. Really lucky deviation there. But so I don't mind... You know, taking 60 seconds to do that if I can get lucky on it. And so we were playing Outlast again, and there was like a big building in the middle. And I was like, this is great. The Dreamer can just hang out behind the building and score the flag. It's awesome. And I went pretty heavy on the right, and we played like a really interesting, at least early on, interesting kind of threat range game where we both kind of threat the same. He thought the nature of the matchup would be both like Bissell gating stuff around. And like killing each other rapidly, but between Arcane Vortex and Ruin, it's more about who can kind of control that. It's about the Gremlin Swarms and stuff, right? Erasing them. So I put down an Artificial Deviation in front of a Cage Rager and a Skin and Moans. Put in Feeble on the Skin and Moans, and just kind of like played a jockeyed game, right? So he's got a Skin and Moans over there that can threat pretty far because it had Mirage on it at the time. But it's enfeebled, so it's going to potentially do less damage. He had Rose, which can kind of make up for it, but it kind of skews the math a little bit, right? And I had, like, my entire battle group over there, and he had, like, put one of his heavies over on the left. So by the time turn 3 or 4 got around, and we finally got to, like, killing each other on the right, because we'd both been, like, jockeying, I'd actually managed to clear the left-hand zone and score over there with just sort of kind of the token elements that I had got. My Rattler, like... charged in and started plowing through like Krabbits and stuff like that to contest his flag. And I remembered to make my stuff for hat trick, and he kept forgetting as well. So that was a bit of a problem for him. But as it turned out, like we exchanged some heavies and stuff like that. But it came down to a Cage Rager kind of came around the building, and he didn't have any corpse tokens on him. So I Abyssal Gated him up and around and then killed him with my Skin and Moans. And by that point, he was like, I still had a heavy and a half, and he had no heavies left. So it was kind of over by then. So I think that was a game that really came down to experience and knowledge.
Like for sure, yeah.
He didn't seem to have he said he's only played like 6 to 8 games of Grimkin or something like that. So
he went to a con to play 10 more.
Yes, exactly.
15 more games. All right, I'll get this
exactly
down.
And I think we went 2-1 that one. I think Jeremy lost that round. I don't know. Jeremy lost a second game.
He did lose two. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was 3-2.
Yeah. So our last game, and we were playing against Anthony's team. I can't remember his last name or whatever, but he's like a well-known dude, apparently. And I was playing Keith, and they still had their team feat, and they team feated so Anthony could play Charles. And I don't know if they swapped my matchup, but I was playing Keith. Keith plays Kador. Played him last year. Wormwood into Harkovich. And that game went pretty good. It was a good game, but I think he kind of like messed up a couple things where he should have, because we were playing the old pit, and he should be kind of advantaged there, just being able to jam my face full of jacks. And I think he didn't end up doing that, right? He just ended up feeding me a couple jacks at a time, which Circle can manage to deal with.
Yep.
So, but this one was a Butcher 3 list, and his was kind of an interesting Butcher 3 list because it has two battle engines, Ruin, two Kodiaks, and like Winterguard Infantry, the Blunderbuss dudes, right? With rockets and shit like that. So I played Dreamer into it, and he went first, and I went second, and so I decided he deployed fairly evenly. So I was going to like, although Butcher was favored on my right, so I kind of figured he's going for the flag. So I figured I'd go for the left and just stay away from Butcher. Put contesting elements in there. So I took Desolation and Ruin, and I knew the only Arcana I was probably going to end up using was Ruin, because I've played that matchup a bunch of times with Dave, and you just end up holding that until Butcher tries to Impending Doom or Energizer. That's like that's your Arcana is just for that event.
Yeah, you're like, and no.
And no. And he was pretty smart about it because he would always activate Butcher near the end. So it's like I couldn't use anything until Butcher had done something. So he had run the battle engines up, and I ran Gremlin Swarms up to base them just to kind of mess with them. And I put up an Artifice and threw some heavies in there and stuff like that. And I think he just positioned the following round, and we both kind of scored our flags. I might have contested his with a Gremlin Swarm or something. I think this is where he learned that pushes that don't work on incorporeal models, because I kind of positioned my Mirage Skin and Moans so that if he went for the Gremlin Swarm physically, he might be in the Skin and Moans threat range. So he's like, well, I'm going to stand on the flag and cast Impending Doom. I'm like, it doesn't work on incorporeal models. He's like, oh. So when he found a spot to stand with Butcher and kill the Gremlin Swarm without being in threat range of the Skin and Moans. So we're pretty even on that. And I just kind of like trundle up the table a little bit with the Rattler right up front, threatening all of his infantry. He put a Kodiak in on turn two, and I ended up killing that. Was it turn two? I can't remember. At some point he put the Kodiak in to kind of bring me up, and I brought up my stuff, still put it in the Artifice to keep it kind of safe versus shooting, killed the Kodiak. And then the next turn he kind of like either got impatient or bored and just charged in both the battle engines. And the one battle engine with combination with the shooting killed Skin and Moans, I think. Those things are pretty
good. Got the impact?
Oh, he got the impact. He slammed it into a Cage Rager that it was right beside, right?
Impacts don't slam, just the charge does.
Well, he charged.
Okay. No, but then he impacts first.
Yes, he did all his shit. Yeah, yeah, knocked a bunch of stuff down, fucked up a bunch of shit. It was all pretty cool. Killed the Skin and Moans and then repositioned over to contest the flag. And on the right, he slammed Cage Rager back, knocked him down or whatever. And then position Ruin. Oh, the Kodiak I had killed, I made into a Phantasm, the big Phantasm, and then bulldozed Ruin back. Cause so he's further back, he's kind of out of position, and there's the Phantasm in front of him, which is kind of cool because the big Phantasm has Arcane Pulse. So if you kill it, it'll blow off Silence of Death on Ruin. Oh, nice. So just to add a bonus. So Ruin wasn't positioned correctly to kind of get deep in on that turn. So he killed that and then moved up to kind of like reposition to threaten again. In my turn, I killed both battle engines. And yeah, that's what I did. I killed
that's
both
a lot
battle
of work
engines.
There.
Yeah, you know what Manifest Destiny does? It fucking kills shit. Yeah. It took one Cage Rager to kill the battle engine. I think he was a little surprised, but I've done it to Dave as well, where it's just like you cast Manifest Destiny and the dice just say, yes, everything happens. And I actually like, you know, I didn't want to get the Dreamer into too much trouble, and I can only alternate the Wraith walking between turns. So the turns that she's not in corporal, I can't be anywhere near Butcher. But I think this turn she was corporal, so I had to like kind of back her up. And the Rattler was going to go in on the infantry just on a solo mission, charge him out of my control type of thing just to kill some dudes. I think he charged in and he killed like three Winter Guard and the field gun just with like his initials and overtaking and berserking and stuff like that. So he's just deep in there, like whatever. If you kill him, great. Then you're not shooting other stuff, you know? So then I scored again, and I scored the zone as well. So I was a little up on scenario. And his turn, he charges Ruin in and kills one of my heavies. I can't remember if it was a Cage Rager or a Skin and Bones. And kills the Rattler with some of the infantry and stuff like that. And I can't remember what he contested my zone with, but he did with something. And so then I clear my zone again and score. I'm getting up like 2 points now on scenario. I beat the shit out of Ruin, but left him on like one box in his movement or something. And at that point, I was like, I've only committed one Skin and Moans to this. I can't commit another one. Otherwise, Butcher just comes in and murders the
both. Kills everything, yeah.
So I position the other Skin and Moans with Mirage so that if Butcher does come in, he's going to be concerned about a Skin and Moans. So Keith's turn, you know, he took his time evaluating his options. And there's like one position he could be where he'd maybe get two heavies. But if he did, there was, I still had Ruin in there as well, right? I could Ruin one of his Flashing Blades and I could Arcane Vortex one of his Flashing Blades. So the dice are still not great. And I still have another Skin and Moans who's going to be probably within walk and kill range. So he opted for the less dangerous option and just kill one heavy and be on a decent camp. But he charged a Skin and Moans. This was kind of, you know, I feel bad for him for this, but he charged in the Skin and Moans. So he had his initial and he had to cast Energizer. So it took his initial and four focus to kill the Skin and Moans.
Wow.
Yeah. His charge attack did no damage.
No. Yes. Triple ones or what?
Well,
it's like pal 16.
So. I know he's armor 21, so his dice off five, but he like four dice, he rolled like 2-1-1-1 or something like that. It was just like pathetic. And then every Flashing Blade, the damage was like way below average. And I think he actually ended up missing one or two attacks. So he was there in the middle of the board with three focus on him. The only serious threat I could get to him, I could probably stationary him. Or I could have opted to use my trump at the end of the turn to knock him down. But I hadn't used the Ruin yet. I don't know. I decided to save it. And the only way the Skin and Moans could get to him because of his feet was the trample. And that meant that I'd only have like three attacks to try to kill Butcher on a three camp.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Not as good, no.
Not as good. But I was like, I can score my flag and my zone again. If I can contest his flag, I can win the game here. And I was like, I have no models that can run and get the flag. But I can kill his objective, turn it into a mouse with hat trick.
No.
And then run the mouse over and contest the flag. And that was like an aha moment for me as well, where I was like, oh yeah, I can do that to the objective. It's an enemy model. And he laughed. He thought it was like, that was amazing.
It's always nice when your opponent thinks so too.
Well, it was a really cute play. But it was kind of funny because Butcher is like up there in the middle of my fucking army, ready to destroy the world the next turn. To the flag. So I ended up winning that one. Charles won his, and Jeremy.
Charles won again.
Oh, fuck, he just won. I didn't bother asking after a while. I just assumed that it happened, right? And Jeremy won his. Like I said, he lost two that round. I don't remember which round he lost, the second one. So then we ended up coming third, which usually means that the captain and the first lieutenant gets in, which would be me and Jeremy. But Jamie Des Moines, whatever the guy that I played in the standard issue, he had already qualified and his team got first, so Charles got in.
Nice.
So we all qualified for Masters. That was a lot of games I just talked about.
It was, yeah.
But they're all great games. They're all fun games. Like I said, by the end of that, I'd played 9 games of War Machine, and I was starting to really feel the positioning.
Because you're playing so many so fast. We can always end it here now.
And then talk about Masters another time.
And I can start recording right away.
Yeah, sure. We can do that. We'll do a little wrap-up or something, right? Sure. But all I can say is that after having played the Dreamer that much, and when I went to Captain Con, I'd probably played her about 14 times.
Right.
And so by the end of that, I'd probably played her another 5 to 6 times or something like that. And she is fucking amazing. Oh my God.
That's like, what you say to all of them when you start playing them. You're like, this guy's amazing.
Well, I think the Wanderer is a lot of fun, but she is like a hat trick alone is like amazing. It's just a fantastic ability. You're just like, that's why she can play so well in that beast theme is because she can make her own models to contest when your opponent attempts to lock you out of scenario. They think, oh, I've got this. I'm going to score in his zone, his turn as well. And you're like, no, I'm just going to make this fucking model and it's going to like bulldoze your shit around. It's going to be hilarious. And on top of that, she's got a fantastic spell list. Like Mirage is a threat extender and a position changer. And it actually works exceptionally well with Skin and Bones because their animus grants them bushwhack. So you can just Mirage up, use their animus, kill some stuff, and then reposition with bushwhack. It's fantastic. I can't tell you how fantastic that is. Enfeeble is a great spell. Like, it, underrated. You just find a unit or a model that you want to stick it on for the entire game. And there was games where just that's all she did. She kept Mirage, Enfeeble, Artifice, Cast Manifest, Destiny. That's all she did that the entire game. And that's a lot, actually. That's a ton. And she's pretty decent at keeping safe. Her gun is cute, but I try not to use that too much because it can get her into trouble. And Abyssal Gate is, like, bonkers. Like, that turn you want to get to something, you just get to it. It just happens. So she's amazing.
Having Arc Nodes helps.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I think when I first started playing Grimkin, just because of the models that I had painted, I was playing her in bump with like infantry and stuff. Sucks.
Well, she's definitely found its home, right?
Like, yeah. Well, I think most people have. I'm going to try Pat Dunford has a list that's different and has Rose in it. And I think I was kind of missing Rose a little bit just for some fury management and the enrage. Really helps crack the armor.
For sure.
For big stuff. But, oh my God, she's so good. I can't tell you. I can tell why everybody loves her. But she's amazing. Old Witch is pretty good, too. But Dreamer is just like, she is fun. She does crazy stuff. You're just like, wow.
And then your opponent's probably not going to know all the stuff it can do. So you're going to get some gotchas there.
Yes. And as an added bonus, you get Arcana. As opposed to the Old Witch, you don't. And you really miss that because it can really tailor the match to your favor.
Well, being able to knock down a caster when he's coming in, you're just like, no.
Fall down.
Because if you also depend on when you trigger it when he kills something, is that how that works?
At the end of his activation.
At the end of his activation.
If he destroyed it, I mean. But
that's important, though.
It is, but it's still, you know, it's great. I think it's in all the games that I've played her, I have never really got it en masse. You don't really have the models to get it en masse. You're saving it for like one
crucial moment.
Hey, look, that's the thing. I'm defense 15 with dodge. No, you're not. You're flat on your face. Right? So, anyway, she's a ton of fun. I really enjoyed her. And like I said, it was a great experience. So
all right. Well, that was most of the Captain Con recap. Tune in for the next one where we'll go over the Masters.
The Masters. Will be a lot shorter, hopefully.
Well, it has to be because there's only like four games.
It's true.
So there you go. Find us on Facebook. Find us on the Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Find us on the web. We're everywhere. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.